In Israel and wherever else you find many Orthodox Jewish communities, it's customary for women, after they get married, to cover their hair in public, traditionally with some kind of scarf. It's a sign of modesty. Many Orthodox Jewish women also wear wigs in the same way, a shetel, as they're known in Yiddish. But what happens when that wig starts to look more like a fashion statement? Alina Simone in New York has our story.
Just one shetel that my wife could wear.
If you're looking for the epicenter of feminist Orthodox Judaism, you might start at Zelda Hair in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Zelda Hair is actually a shop specializing in shetels.
I know that it's pathetic, but she's left with synthetic. Just one.
The shetels favored in Orthodox communities have traditionally been dark, short, and synthetic. They didn't look very natural, nor were they really meant to. But here at Zelda Hair, the walls are lined with long, gorgeous wigs, from blonde to brunette, made of 100% human hair.
Our goal is to make it look as natural and as similar to your hair as possible. That is actually our goal.
This is Zelda Volkov, divorced single mother of three, Orthodox Jew, and independent business owner. Her decision to start selling wigs was inspired by her own traumatic experience with a short, bristly shetel as a teenage bride. Like most Orthodox women, her journey began with her mother's shetelmacher, or wig lady, as Zelda puts it. She walked into the wig lady shop with long blonde hair and...
I left with a dark bob with bangs completely. I didn't look like myself. I didn't feel like myself. I feel like I aged overnight. I didn't feel good.
It turns out a lot of Orthodox women felt the same way. Within 4 years, Zelda went from selling a handful of wigs from her apartment to a storefront with a half dozen shetel stylists. But as more Orthodox women traded in their short, artificial shetels for longer, natural ones, ultra-Orthodox rabbis began to protest, loudly. It began in Israel 15 years ago when some prominent rabbis issued an edict prohibiting shetels made from human hair that come from India, some, but not all of which, is donated at temples as a form of thanks to Hindu deities. Rabbis argued wearing these shetels was a form of idolatry. Jews in Brooklyn and Israel held public shetel burnings in protest, and they're still burning wigs for this reason. There was one in Israel just a few months ago.
The truth is, no one really knows at the end of the day, you know, what's happening with a woman's hair while she has it. I mean, these girls have their hair from when they're a teenager up until they're, like, in their 20s. No one's following their lives, you know?
They could have sinned in that
hair. Exactly.
Like, you do not know what went down in that hair.
Absolutely not.
For the record, none of Zelda's hair comes from India. She sources it all in Ukraine and Russia.
So this is like organic vegan hair?
Yes, pretty much.
But more recently, rabbis have begun denouncing shetels like those sold at Zelda's for a different reason. One that many feminist Jews suspected was the real reason behind the Indian hair scandal. These wigs look too good, and they make Jewish women look too good. Just listen to this lecture from Rabbi Yaakov Benash.
The wigs should not be the type that are, unfortunately, you see too often. Very attractive. A lot more attractive than the girl's own hair. What we have is a situation where women are turning men's heads.
Rabbi Menashe is from the Orthodox community collectively known as Five Towns on Long Island, and this is just one example of many such pronouncements. In fact, half a mile away from Zelda Hair is a Jewish all-girls private school, Bnos Menachem. A year and a half ago, the rabbi who runs the school sent a letter to parents outlining new standards of modesty, with a contract to sign. These standards weren't written for the girls attending the school, but for the parents, mostly the mothers. It said they shouldn't wear bright nail polish or leggings or denim, but one item on the list was underlined. A mother's shetel should not exceed the shoulder blades.
I have had rabbis who asked me to, like, shorten my wig.
This is Adina Miles, known by her fans on social media as Flatbush Girl. Adina is part of a new wave of Orthodox influencers and has criticized ultra-Orthodox rabbis for tightening restrictions on what women should do, say, and wear.
There are a lot of spaces where longer wigs are are considered slutty. I think they felt like I was an easy target.
Today, Adina has over 45,000 followers on Instagram, where she can often be proudly seen rocking a long, lustrous shetel.
I think just being in the public eye just put me in a position, like in the spotlight, where the criticism was directed to me a lot. And like social media bridges the gap between all different kinds of sects within Orthodox Judaism and conservatives and reform, and getting that backlash from people and their opinions based on where they come from and what they understand is a modest female.
A lot of ultra-Orthodox rabbis, however, have a fundamentally different take on female modesty, and they cite the Torah. But Sarah Rudolph says it's not that simple. She's one of a handful of Jewish women to earn the equivalent of a master's degree in Torah studies. She says Jewish law regarding shadels isn't clear, because in the Torah...
There's no verse that says married women must cover their hair.
Wait, what? Yeah, the idea that married women must cover their hair is really just inferred from a passage in which a priest confronts a married woman suspected of adultery and uncovers her hair. What did this woman cover her hair with, and most importantly, why? The Torah doesn't answer those questions, leaving rabbis to grapple with them ever since.
When rabbis in the 16th and 17th centuries started writing about wigs and trying to figure this out, and you know where exactly a wig would fall in the scheme of, you know, acceptable head covering or not, the wigs didn't look like they do today. Their views might be different if they knew that we have these gorgeous human hair wigs that, you know, you can't tell and that look better than the original hair and, you know, are perfectly styled.
Nowadays, each congregation comes up with its own set of rules about what's acceptable. But some ultra-Orthodox see the mere existence of shops like Zelda Hair and their customers as a threat.
A lot of the modesty restrictions come from their rabbis and their men and their want to control their women. That's, at the end of the day, there's no nice way to put it.
One of those rabbis is Rabbi Gurari, who runs the all-girls school that prohibited mothers from wearing long wigs. In a letter to parents, he didn't mince words, referring to the new modesty standards as a campaign aimed at creating a ripple effect in the community at large. I called and emailed the school several times, but never got a response. What's ironic, Zelda tells me, is that long, natural wigs might actually be making Orthodox Judaism more appealing to women.
I get tons of women, and this is what makes me the happiest, who tell me that they've stopped covering their hair or have never covered their hair before, and we actually inspire them to rethink it because of our approach. And that, to me, is really something that I will always hold dear.
When it comes to shadels, the options for Jewish women today are pretty mind-boggling. They can look better than your natural hair. They can even be made from your natural hair. Researchers at MIT are currently developing 3D printed hair. I wonder what Torah scholars would have to say about that. The one thing it seems they still can't do is to shield anyone from judgment. For The World, this is Alina Simone in New York. Just one shade to-